your title again?
And I did not live a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Ooh, she's gone. All right. Boys and girls, welcome to Dixon Jane's. Ooh, this could be a significant one if I was Anthony Markle. 488, I love that. The 4, and you double it, and you got 8, and that's infinity, and another 8. And 4 means death, too, in Asian cultures. Certainly it's a bad number in China and Japan. Whoa, 488. Ooh, now suddenly, oh boy, take this thing seriously. Yeah, Bluffers Park on a Sunday morning, probably noon by now. It's gorgeous. It's a sunny day. It's not too cold. I walked for a change. I got out of my car. I'm at the picnic table side and walked right to the end where I'm facing head on the bluffs. Like, you're as close as you can get looking across this little inlet with a bit of a beach, and the sun just beating down on them. And what was so neat, in the distance, I saw two people at the very top of the bluffs under a tree, you know, looking from their view way up. I mean, it's to get there, it'd be one hell of a long drive to get back around and up. But, you know, as the crow flies, you could see them, and they could see me, except they didn't. And I was waving my arms madly. It became really important for them to see me and wave back. I really wanted them to. but they didn't. It's funny. I could have yelled, but then I would have disturbed everybody else in the park. And not many people. And, of course, that's why I love coming in the winter. It's just it's almost deserted. But, man, today's a beautiful day. I got a little bit of time to myself here to relish and enjoy. I got to be back home for one to drive my wife and number one son to the Art Gallery of Ontario so they can see the Michelangelo and the Alex Colville exhibition and have a nice day to themselves while my son's in town, because he's leaving, I think, next week for New Orleans and parts unknown after that. Well, they're known, but hey, we've talked about that before. Excuse me. It's a glorious day. This is the first time ever, as I sat here, I thought about the next podcast and the time coming when I'm not doing any podcast. Okay, stop. Whoa, sorry. The time when I will no longer allow myself to podcast, like after 500. And I realized, you know, one of the things I talk about all the time is getting into the now, being in this moment. And I like to think that right now I'm sharing this very moment with you, but I'm not. I'm sharing my head clutter. I'm dumping my brain. I'm sort of doing a flush of all the crap and the words. I can see the words swirling down the toilet as I speak to you. But the time is coming when I will have to just sit here. I won't be allowed to talk to you. And it struck me as kind of funny, but also gave me a sense that, yes, then I will really be in the now. Because I think as long as I'm sharing this now with you, I'm cheating. It's not really a now. It's a then, it's a whenever you're listening kind of thing. And I know that's ridiculous, and you could just keep on going around in circles on that whole thought, but that's the thought I just had and I entertained. Listen, speaking of thoughts, man, oh man, I have the feeling now I could hold on to this recorder right now and speak for 55 minutes, leave time for one song, and not stop and be totally entertained myself while doing it. There'd be a few tangents, there'd be a few, you know, lost threads here and there, and the threads that would get very, very intertangled. But we're, of course, we're not going to do that. That would just be too much. Although there's no reason I can't do that. And at this point in the podcast, there are no rules. On my little walk here, I listened to the end of the previous episode about the Gentleman's Club and that song I put in the background, and I felt it was inspired. I'm telling you, boys and girls, I'm going to say it right here, right now, to me and to those of you who are faithful listeners, I am very fucking proud of the Dixon James podcast. I know there are many times on the show where I've questioned its value, and I'm just so fucking proud of it. I'm happy to say that. I'm happy to say that openly. I mean, I do. When I do, I mean, the clips themselves and what I say, it has been a journey, and the experiment from the beginning has been, well, just to see where it gets me. To start this thing 10 years ago, certainly I recorded the first episode in January of 2005, and recorded 3, 4, 5 episodes before I knew what an XML file was or how to get them up for people to listen to. And then, of course, sent that CD to Kat, scared the hell out of her and Bob, for approval, basically. Is this good enough to be a podcast? What do you think? And they're thinking, who is this guy? This creep from Scarborough. But that's history. And so I'm very, very happy to have been a part of the early days of Canadian podcasting. Glad that I stuck with it and on the basis that I have, basically a one-hour show every week. And all the places, and I was thinking today again, there's an awful lot of subtext that I haven't shared, things that have been going on in my life. You've sort of heard whatever it is I care to share and talk about, and a lot of it has been, you know, personal, wrapped up in my own trips kind of stuff. And for some people, that may be tiring. But for me, it was essential. It was important. That's what I've had to do. That's been part of the journey. And I'm going to say it again here because I really don't think it's necessarily clear to other people that a part of this journey has been one of, it's been an effort at personal growth. And I know some people might not, wouldn't see it, you know. Well, why would you? It's the same Scarborough dude as it was 10 years ago. But for me, it's been a little more than that. There have been a lot of changes in my life, been a lot of things going on. And especially the direction I feel I'm heading in now, the fact that I'm actually going in tomorrow morning once again, my third session of this Gestalt therapy I've agreed to go through. I think I'm going to learn an awful lot of things that I've been sort of maybe digging up. I'm looking at a beach now in a big dump truck when I'm thinking of somebody digging on the beach and pulling up bits and pieces and things and not quite sure what to do with them. And I think that's sort of what I've done on this podcast. And maybe, to some degree, I've only scratched the surface. I haven't gone deep enough. And now it's time to go further, and it means to leave this behind. And I know. Some of you are saying, again? You're saying that again? And yes, I am, because I'm seeing it as much to myself of trying to figure out what's this meaning. I'm on another parallel track where I'm doing an awful lot of stream of consciousness writing, let me call it that. 3 pages a day, and it's taking a little discipline, and I'm enjoying it very much. Oh my God, I'm this yellow dump truck is so cool. I had the Tonka version of that exact dump truck. 6 wheels, big 4 on the back with a dump and 2 up front, and a nice cab. I don't know how the hell that dump truck got onto that beach. It's there's loads, piles and piles and piles of sand. I don't know. I don't recall. I guess, okay, of course, of course, of course. That's the other side of the dredging. I took a picture the other day and posted it, probably on when I check in here, of the dredge. Remember, I'm saying part of the park is blocked off, the boat launch area. I never questioned, this is how feeble my brain is, I never once questioned, well, what are they doing with all the dirt? You know, they're digging it, I see the barges, and I see the dump trucks, and here is where it's coming. They're putting piles, I'm counting, must be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, oh, 30, 40, 50 piles of sand, and I guess they'll just build up this beach, because it's dirt, earth, sand, I guess. Some gravel. Anyway, all right, so that may have nothing much to do, but that's the ADD checking in, because it's another another level, another tangent, another layer, I guess, in this whole podcast is recognizing that I didn't until my son opened my eyes to it, that there's ADD running in the family. And this is possibly why I led the life I had. Because one of the things they were saying, I just read an article yesterday, it was very interesting, and they were going back to pre-agricultural times, or anybody with ADD had sort of an edge. Not necessarily it was good for the tribe, let's put it that way, because these people needed adventure, needed to keep going on. Now, I know a lot of people will poo-poo that and say, how do they know? But the idea that once a civilization settles and you need the people to do the farm, to keep the accounts for the pharaohs or whoever, you know, for all the various people having to have a job and a role and a position in that society to create this civilization, some people just would have a more difficult time fitting in. And so this could be, in other words, the ADD is not necessarily something new that's just coming up because of the chocolate bars we eat or whatever's in our diet and the chemicals we're exposed to. But something that's always been a strand running through mankind, through our evolutionary history, that's been an important and a useful thing. And now, for some, those of us who have it, it manifests itself in different ways. And this could account for why I did go to Japan, why I did go to Africa, why I did go to Prince George, why I did all these things in my life. I had to do them. I just had to. I couldn't stay still. I couldn't stick in one place. Why did I keep moving? Well, gee, yeah. And so it can, if you harness it correctly, be a good thing, be a powerful, motivating tool, and it has in my case. So there's one more of the things that, an example of the kind of things that I'm trying to talk about on this podcast, that this has been an exploratory journey. It isn't just this guy put out a podcast every week. This guy dug and tried to understand and tried to do it. And that's why now, as I'm getting towards this point, and why it's important, and it's not an arbitrary, I'm going to quit at 500. There's a reason for it. And the reason is because I need to. It's very, very important. And oh my God, it's going to be so hard if I come back with 501 and somebody says, what about on 488 when you said you had to quit? I am being as sincere and as truthful, as open and as unconniving as possible. I really am trying to be straight here. There's just a lot going on, and I guess I've assumed, for example, that those who listen are actually listening to try and understand. And that's probably not the case, that most people are just listening for it's entertainment, it's in the background, I got other things to do, I got to drive the car, I got to do this, got to do that. And you know, hey, of course you're not hanging on every word. I wouldn't expect anyone to, other than myself and hopefully somebody from the future. Now, speaking of the future, I watched Interstellar yesterday. I had to treat myself to a day out. And it sounds like, yes, I treat yourself every day, but this was an extra bonus treat. I got into my car, dug out my old, I don't even know what you call them anymore. You know, the electronic pen I have that sort of heats up the marijuana and vaporizer. I hardly ever use it. And anyway, I dug it out yesterday because I was in the car and I didn't want to light up a smoky, dirty, smelly old joint. So cleaned it out, fired up the vaporizer, and then went in to see Interstellar. So first of all, it's a great movie to see when you're high. The whole movie experience is a blast when you're high. I had the perfect seat, except for the guy with the bad knee who had to get in and out, come late and go in and out a couple of times, and his girlfriend as well. For what reason, I have no idea. But anyway, that aside, perfect seat, very interesting movie, and so many thoughts that came up that I wanted to share, and this is why I could go on for an hour. And what the hell, I may just keep talking. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm just going to do whatever the fuck I want to do. It's my fucking show. Thank you. God. the dust storm, I mean, I'm not going to give away any of the movie. I would need somebody to explain it to me, for that matter, you know, and it'd be worth... Now, here's a guy with one little dog running around quite happy. Looks like a combination between a spaniel and a, I don't know what else, and a pug that he's holding. Oh, he's going to let the pug down now. Tiny little short legs. Crazy dogs. My God. Anyway, the movie, the dust storm, the world, the crops dying. Holy shit, was that a powerful image, because you just cannot help but equate it to where we may be heading on this planet when he talks about the people and the future. All right. Those of you who haven't seen it, don't want to know anymore if you're planning on seeing it. And those of you who haven't seen it and don't want to see it, don't want to hear about it. And those of you who's left? Those of you who have seen it, if any, I'd say it's worth seeing. I'd say it's worth seeing for sure. I mean, 10,000 holes in the plot. Every time a scene comes up, you say, oh, well, how the hell could that happen? But you just put those aside and go with the story, you know. It really was worth watching. And like I say, if you're inclined to have a toot once in a while, not a bad movie to see high. But I guess it ties into the drive I had with my son the other day, and when he, you know, basically just stated, no, the world is fucked and it's not going to get better. It's this capitalist system we're sort of trapped under. He didn't say capitalist system. Those are my words. But basically the system we're at now, how everybody's robots. And if you listen to my last podcast, you heard that wonderful thing of Everyday Robots or something like that. Great, great, great song. Compliments of Number One Son. And that song that I ended with, oh my God, I love that. Anyway, the fact that I just turned on CNN this morning, just in passing as I was having my breakfast sandwich, and the out-of-control spending of the Pentagon, and the warning back to Eisenhower, you've probably seen this on Facebook and stuff, you know, Eisenhower 50 years ago. Oh my God, those two dogs are posing for a photograph in front of the bluffs. Like, basically, the guy must have just said, all right, sit there and pose. And they did. They didn't move. They sat there perfectly still while he took their picture. That is so odd. Sorry. No, I haven't been talking. Not today, anyway. I got to drive downtown. Are you crazy? The Pentagon spending and Eisenhower saying, hey, watch out for this military-industrial complex. This is 50 years ago. And now they're saying military-industrial-congressional complex. That's all interwoven. And unbelievable, the statistics, the staggering costs that nobody's in control of. That basically, this is running America and running this whole system. It's terrifying. We had just this little taste we had at the G20 when suddenly they decided it was time to show Toronto force, the brute power that we have access to if we need it, whoever the we is. And the police, the military, basically arming Toronto and taking over the streets. That was a real wake-up call. And it's as if there are people in positions of power now and people who have money and authority are afraid of losing it. And they've learned from history. They've learned from taking down, like, the czars and the French Revolution and beheading kings and everything else. And they're saying, oh, no. We have to have total control over the weapons, the military, these forces, these armed forces that can control people and listen in on them and stomp on them and use terrorism as whatever, you know, as a scare tactic to get people to stand in line. And I'm not going conspiracy theory about an inside job on the 9/11. No, I'm not going there. I'm just saying, just open your eyes and look around. It's a frightening world we live in. And it seemed this movie emphasized that point, that it's harder and harder, or going to be harder and harder and harder to wrestle back control unless people stand up to their governments. You think of that Tiananmen Square, the guy in front of the tanks. We are in need of more heroes. We are in need. And again, I don't want this bloody revolution. I want a lot of bankers in jail. I want the Rumsfelds and these other people. I want them in jail. I know this is a stupid rant to go on, and it's just, okay, it's in me and I gotta get it out, all right? Just bear with me. I am frightened. I am frightened of United States of America. And here I am, I got American listeners who I love and treasure, but I am frightened of your country. I am frightened of the power of the Pentagon. I am frightened of the forces of the capitalist society. Every fucking ad I watch scares me. Yeah, I've got to that point. You see an ad for Depends. And good, some people need these things and it's wonderful. But they make them look like, you know, cute, nice panties you'd wear. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, who affords disposable underwear? Not the people scratching the earth to get a handful of food to eat, which is the masses all over the planet. This is this elite. And it's sort of like saying, hey, if you're watching this on TV, you're one of us and you want to keep this and you don't want to lose your chance to have Depends underwear or this kind of breath freshener or this kind of hair gel or whatever it is that this system that we've got in place, this capitalist system, it's yours. You can have it. You work, you do your job, you be that robot. You consume, you consume, you consume, you consume, you consume. Take it. We've got it for you. It's there. Don't think about anything else. And that's frightening. And it's frightening how many people are just becoming zombies, already are, who aren't thinking, who are so locked into the system they will never open their eyes. All right, Christmas is coming up. Shop, buy, do this. And where is the change? Where is the love? Where is the fear that people should have? Where is the resistance? I don't have it. I'm just too comfortable in my life. I'm not holding myself up. I'm not standing here waving a flag, a red flag and saying, go get them. I'm a victim of that whole thing too. I'm just having to deal with the guilt of being a part of it and not doing anything to change it. And I don't know. I mean, I know, and maybe I'm counting on just as many people out there. In fact, it'd be better if it was 90% of you shouting at me. No, you've got it all wrong. You're focusing on the wrong thing. You don't really see clearly. You just think you do. You're just taking the easy way out and pointing at the villains that are, you know, obvious to everybody. So, yeah, maybe I do have a very shallow perspective here, and I'm only doing this to make myself feel a little better. But it was certainly one of the things that came out of that movie, watching that movie yesterday, and it came out of this conversation with my son. Both my sons, they see a dark future, and this is a dark time in human history. It is, and in spite of all the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things, is landing on an asteroid and sending something up as a test flight to go to Mars, and the advances in medicine, and the great example, maybe, that we are in Canada of a civilized country that is trying its best to play fair, but unfortunately, my fear is we are just under the wing of America. When CNN put up a map today, and it showed in bright, bright colors, the United States, Canada was just sort of a dark gray or something, I don't know. And the bright colors of America below us, and then Alaska at the top, Alaska. And it just looked, whoa, we're surrounded. Like, boom. When America wants our water, our oil, our resources, I mean, they're already buying, I mean, we can laugh at, okay, they've bought Tim Hortons, is no longer ours. Well, was it ever? This fear that our existence is just so tentative. Our existence as we think we have it as Canadians and with our own identity and our own set of values, it's really a bit of a joke because we better pay attention to the forces that are much greater than ours. Okay, let's park that. You've not enjoyed that, and I've gone on for 25 minutes. And but, you know, bear with me. I'm in a perfect, beautiful, gorgeous... Oh, there's another person up on the hill. Waving, waving. What could they be looking at other than down here? But no, they're not looking at me, and they're just turning and walking away. All right. It's just so nice. All right, I guess I got to look at the time. Do I have? I got to promise I'll be home for one to drive them to the art gallery. But this, I'm not done. I'm not done yet. Ah, it's only 12:30. I got 15 minutes. Stay tuned. Take a break if you want. You know, but I just can't right now. All right. I when I finished my podcast yesterday, Saturday, and put it up, I felt the loss. That no, hey, I'm not done yet. I want to keep going. So, gosh, maybe I have talked myself out. I don't know what your reaction is to my rant, but it's just I feel bad that I've grown up. I don't feel bad. I should be grateful that I've grown up in such a fabulous time, to have been born in such a great time in history, to have had such a wonderful life, and including, best of all, in my youth, a window of hope, that period of the 60s where, yeah, we're bringing an end to the war in Vietnam. And I just don't see that hope now. And yet, when my son sees the bleak future, I see hope in all the young people who see the wrong. And I think there's a whole generation of people. And so, yes, the system is in place and it's ironclad and it's going to be very hard to turn over. And it's only going to happen from the inside, from the bottom level. But I think there's an awful lot of young people worldwide who want something better, who see through, you know, the illusions and the falsities. And I have some degree of faith. I won't be around to see it, but some degree of faith that they will make this a better world. I guess we're done. Yeah, that's an awful lot to ask you to sit through. I don't really feel that I have finished, but I bloody well better be, because, hey, that was a long one. Boys and girls, enjoy the tune that's going to follow this, and thank you for listening to the Dixon James podcast all these years, for some of you. And stay tuned, because we're not finished yet. 488. Taking a break. Bye for now. Check. Check, check. Not Bluffers Park today. It's Tuesday morning and we are in Thompson Park. It's closer to my house. I was driving my son to school and we had another one of those wonderful chats about basically, just him, me. And I was able to tell him at the end of it, you know how much this means to me, this having this 10-minute drive together just to talk. And it was so calm and so wonderful. And it's been a really intense story. And I'm saying that because of previous comments I've made on the show and other people have picked up on about my questioning my role as a father and how I've played it out and my shortcomings, my failures, my regrets. And I sometimes think the things I say on this podcast are often misconstrued or misinterpreted. It's on one level, I'm putting this out there purposefully for people to listen to and pick up on. And on another level altogether, I'm just airing my own inner demons sometimes, my own spirit, my own mind dwellings, whatever's going on. And I think, as with anybody, when we have a conversation, we don't always pick up. We might hear the words, but we don't know the intent behind the words. We don't really understand the nuances. And when it's one way like this, there's every likelihood that what I say will be perceived in a way maybe very different from the way I see it or the way I even intended it to be, you know, understood. That's just a problem of communication. So I'm not going to dwell on that, but I am going to say the relationship I have with my two sons now at a time when it counts. And why does it count? Because it's now, in the present, not in the past and not in the future. It's now. It's very good and very close and very real, and I'm very grateful for that. I'm very happy about that, and even have the feeling it could only get better. And, yeah, that's a good thing. So, maybe I'm trying to set the record straight here. I think another aspect to this podcast, the Dixon James podcast, is on one level, again, I like to think of myself as almost an entertainer, a performer. That's what I'm doing on this podcast. For those few who tune in all the time, I'm doing my best to keep you engaged, to keep you listening, to keep you, you know, not just informed about my life, but entertained by the things I get up to and the things I talk about and share with you. But on another level, this is genuinely my voyage of self-discovery. And it's been 10 years now that I've been on this voyage. And the podcasting has been a thing. This is the vehicle. This is the fun. This is the group. And it's just so fantastic that I've been able to be part of this community. In fact, be a contributing member to this community. And by this, I mean not all those people, the newcomers on Facebook who are asking, again, what gear do I need? And will anybody evaluate my show? Any pro tips? No. There is another community of amateur. I'm not so sure I like the word unprofessional, but of amateur podcasters doing this for the love of it, the way my father did ham radio. And there is a collective, and I'm thrilled to be a part of that, and I want to continue to be a part of that, even when this particular run of the Dixon James podcast ends. I will pop up in other places, and I will have other shows. I would love to do another episode of Gappage if I could only get Brent to get a move on that, and that's Yeah, I don't know. That's a possibility. That is a possibility. Anyway, that's for future speculation. We'll see what goes on there. I do have some quotes, but I wonder if, excuse me, they mean anything to you when I'm sort of reading them in isolation and without really providing the context. And the context is, this is a period of change for me. Slow change. Almost imperceptibly slow, so that you may not notice anything different at all about yours truly, the host, the Scarborough Dude of the Dixon Janes podcast, but I'm becoming aware of it. And I'm feeling very, very, very positive about what lies ahead. I don't know that I can say much more than that. I'm not trying to be mysterious here or deliberately obscure. I'm just saying that we all have this tremendous potential to grow and to be more. This old Carl Rogers idea of becoming a person, and I won't hide the fact, because I've already owned up to it, that this therapy that I'm putting myself through is proving to be a wonderful thing, a very wonderful thing. And I think it's just almost funny that I would pick this up after a 40-year gap. It was 40 years ago, or 41, I don't know, when I went through the group therapy as a participant in this large group, in this experimental program that was being run out of university, British Columbia's Health Science Medical Center. And that was very, very much so life-changing. And now I've decided it's time to come back and revisit and is the word exercise, a few inner demons and... come to terms with a few issues, blockages. I don't know. I don't particularly want to get into it, because it is a private and personal journey at this point, and that's another reason why I'm bringing the Dixon Janes podcast to an end. I have a voyage to continue, and that voyage is not necessarily one I care to, want to, need to, or should share with you. There, that says it in a nutshell, right there. From a book I am slowly working my way through, I'm just going to read a few random quotes, and I've selected them, so they obviously mean something to me, and whether they do to you or not, I don't know, and it's not really important. Every time you don't follow your inner guidance, you feel a loss of energy, loss of power, a sense of spiritual deadness. Now, if you don't believe you have an inner guidance, that sort of intuitive part of you that knows what's right and what's wrong, and I don't mean just your conscience and your sense of guilt, I mean those times when you tune in and you just know that something is right or true, or you're on the right path. If you don't have that sense, it's one you want to... find, because it's in all of us. You just have to learn to tune into it. Next one. Learn to get in touch with the silence within yourself and know that everything in this life has a purpose. Now, so many of you will want to dismiss that. I have one of the other voices I've adopted is Dr. Dave Brodbeck from Sault Ste. Marie, who I allow, and I'm sure he would be on board with this, I allow him to be the other voice. Just the same way I studied the brand of psychology that talked about change, this thing that emerged out of the 50s and 60s in opposition almost to behaviorism and Skinner's rat psychology, I'll call it, this one for the potential for human growth. That's the side I fall on, and Dave, of course, would probably prefer, be more comfortable on the other side with his hummingbirds. And this isn't a crack at Dave. Dave is quite comfortable and quite certain within himself of where he's at and what he, you know, chooses to view as the right way of looking at the world. And I think this is what makes it all so interesting, is that we all have these very, very different perspectives, each and every one of us. And I know each and every person listening to this show, or each person that I count as a friend, has a very, very different take on life. I think the danger lies when one person closes him or herself off to all other possibilities. And I don't know, maybe that's okay too for you. But for me, I'm just trying to keep the door open just a crack. That's exactly where I'm at in my life right now. The door is open just a crack, and I want that door open a lot wider. So, these little preambles are actually working. They're not planned. This is part of this inner voice leading me in this direction that I'm going in now with a big smile on my face. I can say I've laughed more through therapy than I normally do in any given week, and laughter is a good thing. Whatever God's dream about man may be, it seems certain it cannot come true unless man cooperates. I do like that one. And again, you know, a lot of people, myself included, just get upset at God, especially with a capital G. And I think the point is, you choose to interpret that word any way you want. Let it mean anything you want it to mean. Let it mean evolution, you know, let it mean whatever it is you're comfortable with. But I think it still holds. Whatever God's dream about man may be, wow. It seems certain it cannot come true unless man cooperates. If you've seen the movie Interstellar, the more I think about it, the more I enjoyed that movie, the more I do want to see it again sometime. That last quote, kind of fits with it. I'm a bit spellbound by the ending of that movie. So go see it. If you haven't seen Interstellar, go see it. Think of yourself as an incandescent power, illuminated and perhaps forever talked to by God and his messengers. Now again, I can see people, oh my God, stop it. What's happened? I thought you were an atheist. Well, you can be an atheist and still get something out of these quotes. Let me repeat that one. Think of yourself as an incandescent power, illuminated and perhaps forever talked to by God and his messengers. I'm not even going to try and justify that one. I'm going to just let you do with that as you please. These are quotes from a selection of many, and these just happen to be ones that I've highlighted as sort of saying, yeah, I like that. Maybe a final, I didn't highlight this one, but it's a Jackson Pollock. The painting has a life of its own. I try to let it come through. Now that's a neat one too. So I'm keeping this one short because I've got to go back. I've got to do some more writing. I've got to, I don't know what I have to do today, really, other than be in class by 3:30 in time to give out the final test, not exam. today, God, I was going to stay away from politics, but since I went on such a tirade last time, today is the day America is supposed to be releasing a report on the use of torture that they've done, and Obama supposedly has brought an end to. And it's the strangest thing. Like, all the TV news stations are, today's the day, and oh my God, they're expecting riots. Oh my God, everybody's on full alert. Oh my God, there's going to be such chaos when this story is reported. Oh my God, we're expecting violence. And it's so bizarre, because it's as if we're putting this out, and now we're daring anybody out there to throw bombs into our embassies, to kidnap Americans, to kill people. It's like an inciting riot. It's the same sometimes when they do all this reporting on the police. And it's not that I'm saying you got to hide that stuff. But the way it's done, it's almost like the news gets more listeners and you know, probably better advertising revenue when there's a lot of shit going down, you know? Now, the one thing I'm not happy about, I am not in favor of looting and smashing windows. I just find this is not protest. This is the worst kind of behavior, because this totally takes the dignity out of any righteous peace march or march where people are in the streets to say, hey, there are wrongs happening here and we need those corrected. And this is in relation to, let's say, the last one, the chokehold, I can't breathe episode that anybody alive and listening to this podcast already knows about, from New York, where an officer just choked a man to death, basically, and of course got off, that no police are being charged in these, you know, murders, killings. Let's not say murders, let's say killings, of, in this case, unarmed civilians. This is not a good state of affairs. But the idea that these marches are maybe being infiltrated by whoever they are, the black shirts, I can't even remember the name of the group. I think they were here for the G20 as well, who their vision, their picture is just anarchy, chaos, violence. Let's smash windows. Let's raise shit here. Let's get the police provoked enough that they're going to shoot somebody. And then we've really got shit going down. We're really going to bring about change. And this is just wrong. I am such a peacenik that way. I'm such, oh, I can't even tell you how much this frustrates me, this corrupting of what should be peaceful demonstrations and just a right way to do things. Anyway, damn it. But I had to say that because I know sometimes I go on and round, I just go overboard painting America to be the great Satan. And I'm thinking, no, geez, if there's hope for the world, well, I wanted to go ahead and say it's in America, and I'm not sure I can say that with a straight face, in all honesty. There has to be change. The part I don't get, there's just so many good people in the world. And I really do feel that the machinery is in place to control us, to keep us down. There's a tremendous fear amongst almost the ruling class that we can't let, you know, our only hope to stay in these positions of power. And I don't know who specifically I'm talking about, and this isn't necessarily an Illuminati conspiracy rant. It's just that a lot of people have a vested interest in not having any changes. Keep people dumb, keep them consumed, keep stuffing those flyers into their mailboxes and convince them they need to buy more and more and more and more and more. And don't even think about the greater pictures. Don't think poetry, don't think art, think consuming. Don't think about equality, don't think about justice, don't think about any of these things, because we need you to be dumb and stupid and unthinking and fearful. Oh, God, I did it again, didn't I? Isn't entirely where I wanted to go to, but obviously this is a force within me that needs venting as well. So there you go. I had to get home and I'm going to do something productive, even if it's just going out and have a coffee somewhere and being nice to myself. Oh, yeah. It's just that I can't start marking until I've given the exam. So anyway, I got to fill up the day somehow, and let's see how we get around to doing that, okay? Boys and girls, Scarborough Dude from the Dixon James podcast number 480-fucking-8. Fucking 480-fucking-8. Holy fuck. Wow. Bye for now.
Oh, the snot has caked against my pants. It has turned into crystal. There's a bluebird sitting on a branch. I guess I'll take my pistol. I've got it in my hand, because he's on my land. I have seen you many times before. Once when I was in India and I was on my land. Why can't you understand? And so the story ended. You know it oh so well. Or should you need, I'll tell you. Turned into crystal. There's a bluebird sitting on a branch. I guess I'll take my pistol. I've got it in my hand. Because he's on my land. And so the story ended. You know it oh so well. Or should you need, I'll tell you.
Incredibly scared of the process. And I've finally have had to admit to myself that part of the problem I experience here is I don't know how to deal with, feeling overwhelmed. Does that make sense? I haven't really done a very good job of doing that. And it's kind of sad because I really, 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 really want to not feel that way. And I've said this how many times before. I mean, if you listen to this podcast at all, you'll know that I am not very good at expressing myself in terms of getting into the meat of stuff. I haven't really been that great at it, and I certainly hope that this is like asking a leopard to change its spots, I've discovered. Like, I am a particular type of personality, very introverted, far more introverted than I ever suspected. I mean, for the last few years, it's been surprising that I've actually done anything. I seem to be, as I'm getting older, I seem to be turning inward a lot more than I used to. And it's unfortunate because I think that it's not healthy. It's not something I think that people should do. I think that people should be able to express themselves openly without any fear. But for the last few years, I've had nothing but fear. And I don't know why, because it's really... And for a while there, I just kind of felt upset about it. I kind of felt ashamed about it. I didn't really have any explanation.
Okay, I'm going to have to ultimately come in here. I'm going to have to talk over.
Got pissed off.
Our friend.
I became incensed that my life was being limited.
Maybe pick up that thread, but of course, what I'm suggesting is that you go back and you listen to Shane's podcast, the Shanecast. I'm just very happy to have him back. I've missed Shane. I mean, he's out there. You hear him on Talking Is Dead with Anthony, and you hear his shoes in the living room. And then there's his Christmas YouTube channel for the Advent beer calendar. But this is Shane from the Shanecast, and this is where I feel I'm hearing what to me is the real Shane. Just... good to have him back, and that little bit I just recorded, and I haven't even asked Shane's permission yet. I'm going to after this, but I can relate. I don't feel introverted. I may be, but I don't see myself that way. But this business of being overwhelmed that he was talking about, of just being so overwhelmed you just come to a standstill. I get that. That explains the list of chores that just gets bigger and bigger, and the bigger it gets, the more you can't even... And everybody, you just can't do anything. You're frozen. And, of course, people say, well, just start. And, yeah, that's probably the answer. But it just becomes too much. And I guess I'm not so much there right now that I think I am beginning to get more things done. Although, now with Christmas coming, and I realize I haven't bought a single... gift for anybody. Here it is. What's the date today? I don't know. It's the 12th. So, you know, it's getting there. I planned to send cards, or I had planned to send cards, certainly to people in Japan. Haven't started that. And it'll just sit there and get heavier and heavier, and next thing you're not doing it. So thank you, Shane, for sharing that. And this is sort of where I'm coming from, is I think everybody should, well, maybe I can't say everybody should, but I really appreciate it when people open up in a podcast and say revealing things about themselves and sort of unpick themselves. No, that's not the right word. Maybe it is. Pick apart themselves. And hanging up there in a clothesline for everybody to see, you know. What is it? Washing your dirty laundry in public? Something you're not supposed to do? I don't know. I can't get a good way of describing this. I'm just glad that there are a few people that I know who will air their laundry on a podcast. And that's not so much it. It's just this... Okay.
Let's just stop for a minute and let me regroup, okay? What I thought about, I've talked a lot about, I'd like to do something for PodCamp Toronto, and I make it such a big deal, and it becomes overwhelming because you just get, well, what? And I've gone in several different directions about what I would like to maybe do, and where I am now, it's like a spinning wheel, and it stops, and then maybe it spins again, and but right now it's stopped at podcasting for psychotherapy. And I kind of like that because I do think, and Shane's was a perfect example. In fact, maybe that should be a piece that I would borrow and use, again, with permission. He and a few others I know will sort of put themselves out there, expose themselves, let's say. And I really think this is valuable. I think this is an important and a wonderful thing to do. And I think if more people were not afraid of that process and they talked and released some of these inner demons, that they too would benefit from it. And that's sort of, you know, the point I wanted to make in the podcasting is the more we share, the more it's valuable to the other people listening, not just the person doing it, but for those who listen, say, hey, well, yeah, I feel that way sometimes too. Yeah, I know, because right away, I mean, the reason I recorded it is right away I connected. As soon as Shane said that business about being so overwhelmed that you can't do anything, man, oh man, that hit home. Yeah, that's, man, that happens to me a lot. So, that's something I wanted to share. Thank you, Shane, and I'm going to get back to that. I'm looking forward to it, but right now I'm parked at the St. Andrew's Cemetery. It's wonderful to see it in snow. There's not a single footprint anywhere. Like, the entire graveyard is deep in snow. And each of the tombstones, I know these are the wrong words, but you know what I mean. The gravesite, gravestones, grave markers, they all have, you know, 6-8 inches of fresh white snow on top. And it's kind of nice to see. It's just neat looking straight ahead at it. It's a whole new vision. I love coming here in the fall, too. But right now, it's lovely. It's a sunny day. It's Friday. The wonderful Fridays we have and we share. Friday, my family and I are going out to Finn Izakaya. That's because I won a $50 gift certificate at the Bunink I attended a week ago. And this will put it to good use. And also because my son is leaving for New Orleans at 3 o'clock this morning. They decided that because they wanted to get the American border and Detroit, Windsor, early so they could have a full day in Detroit. And it's another road trip. Third one he's made with a couple of his really good buddies. And after that, we don't know. I think he will be home for Christmas. Glad to hear that. And then he'll decide if he's heading off again or staying put for a while or whatever he decides is okay, because it's his choice and his life. This is number one son. And number two son finished the last of his exams, and oh my gosh, wonderful, great. And begins another semester in January. So all's well on the home front overall. Yeah. I wanted to talk about creativity, because as I struggle with it, it hit me how many of my friends, the friends that I've come to know through podcasting, are not only creative people, but are creating and putting their creations out there. And I think that's fantastic. The number of people who have actually written books or doing blog posts, being speakers at events. Again, I keep coming up with a good friend, Dave Delaney, and how all the stuff he is doing in social media, new media, new business networking, stuff that doesn't impact me directly because I'm not into that world right now, although I could be doing more, should be doing more. I think things have just reached a quiet space. But the fact that he's doing it, making a living at this, is wonderful. And that's taking along, and it's a very brave thing to do. And my hat's off to the musicians, the painters. We take Dave's wonderful wife, Isabel Michaud, and all that she is doing, all the wonderful painting that she's produced, the courses she's taking, and just releasing her inner artist. And again, to the musicians out there, I'm in awe. I think it's absolutely wonderful. And I think this is a really special time that the tools that we have now, these social media tools, the podcasting, for example, I think it is another one of these creative expressions. And to all of you who are creating, wow, fantastic, congratulations. That's great. I feel I'm a little behind in that department, but I'm working on it, and hope to move forward there myself a little bit, too. All right, I guess, I don't know, I'm not as clearly focused as I had hoped I would be. So I think the best thing I can do is go back to listening to Shane, and then I've got a whole lineup of other podcasts. Congratulations to Anthony Marco, who reached number 700. That's including the written versions, but we count that, or he counts that, of a podcast with Love Hate Things. 700, there's a number. And we'll carry on. I'll get back home. I got marking to do and stuff like that. And next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend, I take the train to Windsor. And I'm very much looking forward to that. That's always, always, always fun, inspiring, and makes me feel alive. So boys, girls, Scarborough Dude, temporarily signing out. And let's get back to listening to your friend and mine.
Just afraid of revealing myself. Have your laugh. What it really came down to is that I was not able to express myself because I have allowed myself to be sucked into that realm of fear, where like fear will grab a hold of you. It'll prevent you from talking and doing, and essentially you become an excuse monster. You become somebody who turns around and says, no, I'll do it tomorrow, or no, I'll do it next week, or, you know, if only Monday were here, I'll start everything on Monday. I mean, I got into that loop for such a long time, and it really began to affect me as an individual, because after a while, you just lose yourself. You
just rings so true.
I mean, I'm talking like I'm some sort of fancy guru where I know what the hell's going on, but the reality is I really don't know what the hell's going on because I'm too busy being afraid of stuff. I'm too busy of just calling it as I see it and being a human being with an individual ass... individual ass. With an individual...
Said it's alright, I won't forget all the times I've waited patiently for you, and you'll do just what you choose to do, and I will be alone again tonight, my dear. Heard a funny thing somebody said to me, you know that I could be in love with almost everyone. I think that people are the greatest fun, and I will be alone again tonight, my dear.
heard a funny thing. Somebody said to me, you know that I could be in love with almost everyone. I think that people are the greatest fun. And I will be alone again tonight, my dear.
Thank you.